Production. Recorded live.
You are listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 67 of the Geocaching Podcast. Tonight's podcast is called How We Do It. That's prep for cache outings. If you want to participate in our show tonight, go ahead and call 724-444-7444, and our talk cast ID is 7525. All you have to do is press star 8 on your phone. That'll put you in our queue to get you to talk. Or you can go to our chat room and participate with our other listeners, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. Just click the Join Now to Participate button on the right. We also have a voicemail line if you want to get a hold of us during the middle of the week, which is 206-350-3GPS. And we also, yes, have a Twitter account. That's twitter.com/GCPodcast. If you want to get some good information through us during the middle of the week, that's the way to do it. That's twitter.com/GCPodcast. Welcome back, co-hosts. I have Montu and Daryl, as always, on the phone tonight. Montu, how's it going?
Not much. Still too hot to go out and do any caching. Didn't even work on the trains this last weekend. It was so hot. Now, last week I did mention that I had some great news to share. Actually, two items. First, on Wednesday, right after the show, Wednesday morning, I became a new uncle for the seventh time.
Congratulations.
My sister gave birth at 8:35 Wednesday morning to a healthy baby boy who they named Zach Brian Vital. He weighed in at 8 pounds, 4 ounces, and was 21 inches. Now, if that doesn't beat all, today my family is celebrating my daughter, Princess Katie Bug's birthday. And so in between the two shows, I think it's safe to say we've all had a great time, just no caching.
Well,
Daryl, how about you?
Well, no caching here either, unfortunately. Did get a chance to go to the theater to see WALL-E. It's the first time I've actually been to the theater since, National Treasure 2, which before that I think it had been 4 years since I had been to the theater. So we don't get to the theater very often. But recorded some more interviews, Cachers of the Roundtable Episode 12, which comes out in a couple of days. But nothing else, really. I am kind of anxious to have a chance to play with my newly converted D2X, which is now infrared only, so I can do those cool kind of bizarre photos that you get with the glowy white leaves and whatnot. How about you, X-Punk X?
Well, not too much caching. Saturday we hit one cache in our local park, but we've been... Yesterday, me and Jules went out to with the local ranger to teach her how to cache. She's, as we've mentioned before, new to the geocaching scene, and they put her in charge of geocaching. So what better way? We went ahead and took her out to check out the caches that are in some of the parks, her parks, and we also checked up on some other caches for other people. That's really what's been going on with us. We're really looking forward to our road trip that's coming up soon, where we'll probably do a good majority of our summer caching on, just because we haven't been able to get out a whole lot because of schedules here. So that's really what's been going on with us. We have some news to bring to you guys tonight. Montu, do you want to go ahead and bring the news to us?
I'll be more than happy to. Garmin introduces a new and improved Astro GPS dog tracking collar. The DC30 collar's main housing is weighted to sit below the dog's neck. While a small, low-profile GPS antenna is integrated into the collar strap and positioned on top of the dog's neck, providing a clear view of the satellites with minimal rotation. The transmitter antenna originates from the lower housing and has been redesigned for more flexibility and ruggedness. No counterbalance or harness is needed. The weight for the transmitter plus antenna is about 4.5 ounces, and the entire DC-30 weighs just 8.7 ounces.
That's an interesting concept. We'll go ahead and link to that release notes in our show notes, which can be, again, found at geocachingpodcast.info. Tonight, let's move on to our main topic, how we prep for an outing. An outing can be anything that anytime you cache, whether it be by yourself or with others, it seems like it's just a little bit different for everyone and how we prep for it. For some people, it consists of printing out the paper and jumping in the car. For others, like myself, we like to make it a little bit more complicated than it needs to be. And so, since everyone does this different, we want to hear from you guys. We want to hear how you do it, how you prep for a cache outing. Please call us at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Go ahead and press *8 to request a talk. Daryl, why don't you jump in here, and how do you prep for a cache outing?
Well, we're kind of a fly-by-your-seat-of-the-pants kind of couple. Usually, we just kind of load up pocket queries directly from GC into the two GPSRs. That's our Colorado and the 60 CSX still. And I'm using Mac caching to do the load onto the 60 CSX. But occasionally, if we're going to be doing more of a driving day or lots of power caching kind of stuff, then we'll load up the Nuvi 200 as well so that we can just, pick the cache and do driving directions. But since the Colorado, we really have abandoned using CacheMate. Still use a WAP interface at times for updated information and logging, but most of the time we're just using the Colorado more than as a GPS. We're actually just using it as our paperless caching descriptions, and then logging through the WAP interface with some notes on just paper. So we've kind of actually regressed as far as that goes, but it's working very well for us so far. How about you, Montu?
Well, for us, when the temp's right, of course, it depends on if it's a first find hunt or just a good old day out caching that we're after. If it's a first to find, I'll update the GPS directly from geocaching.com and print the page, and out we go. If we're just after a bunch of situated caches that have been out there for a while, I'll make sure the caches that we're after are up to date in GSAC, and then I'll send the information over to the GPS and to my iPod. Due to listing limitations in the iPod, I'll then usually check the listing real quick to make sure they're all complete. That's one thing I've run into a couple times. It's not fun to go out there and then find you're missing half the information on the iPod. Now, if it's a park, if we're going out to place caches, we do it a little bit differently. There, I will normally try and download an area around the area where we're planning on placing the caches, try and get every cache that's in that area, even ones that I found, so that we make sure that we don't go and place some too close to a pre-existing cache. How about you, Andy?
Well, before I start into what we usually do, we're getting towards the end of what we've got as far as how we do caching, so we do definitely want to hear you from listeners. Go ahead and give us a call, 724-444-7444. The TalkCast ID is 7525. Press *8 to request a talk, or type it into the chat room, and we'll go ahead and we'll read it out loud for you. The first thing that I always do is every week, no matter if I'm going caching or not, I download a pocket query for my area, just so I always have that. When I'm ready to go out and cache, I load the GPS up with the caches from GSAC. And the reason I do that is so I can massage the data a little bit. I can have it presented to me like I need to on the GPS. Now, if we're going out for several caches, we'll take the backpack. It has all of our stuff in it. If we're going just for one or two caches, we'll take the stuff we need, like water, pens, batteries, GPSR, obviously. Now, if it's a large outing, like a road trip, what I do is I export. It's a little bit different because I take the laptop with me and a lot of other stuff. So if it's a large trip, what I do is I export from GSAC to either the DeLorme Street Atlas or MapSource, and I link it to the offline page, and then I'm going to use the Bishop's Geocache Visits Text software that creates that software so I can log later on, and maybe even use the USB GPSR to hook up to the computer too. So I've got the computer is getting a signal so I can kind of keep a track of where I'm at. Also, I bring the power inverter to keep power to the laptop. Recently, I've made a video that I put online and made available online for exact like how-to to do that. That'll be linked in our show notes at geocachingpodcast.info. So if anyone else has any information, go ahead and give us a call, 724-444-7444. Talkcast ID is 7525. We've got a couple of things here that are in our show notes that I want to read to you. Jody says that she packs a lunch and water big enough for the gang when they do their outing. And then Reaper665 says, for an FTF hunt, he loads up the Garmin handheld and Magellan crossover and prints out the cache listing, along with grabbing his cache bag. For an FTF hunt, he loads up his Garmin handheld and Magellan crossover and prints out the listing, along with grabbing his cache bag. So he pretty much does the same thing, and I just read that twice, actually. That threw me off again. I get thrown off easily. He typed that twice in the chat room. Anyways, for an FTF hunt, I do the same thing that I think Montu may have mentioned. I load the GPS right off the geocaching website, and that's one of the biggest, hugest things that I love about the plugin, the Garmin plugin, is you can get the data right off the website really easy. No need to download that to GSAC or anything. Daryl or Montu, do you have anything else that you want to put in here before we open up the phone lines?
Well, that's actually one of the nicer things, too, about the plugin and the Colorado, is it actually sends all that data about the cache to the device as well. So that's one of the reasons that we really have kind of started using the Colorado as the paperless caching tool. Just, you know, it's so convenient to pop that in and go. We don't have to go through all those extra steps and all the extra software. But if we are out in the field and get a publish, then we just go back the old way to look it up on the WAP interface, get the details, punch them in, and it's whatever shows up on the WAP interface is what we have.
All right, I think we got a few people on the phone here. I'm going to go ahead and open up Geek Boy from Illinois to let me know a little bit about what he does. We also have GeoAddict, who has dialed in. GeoAddict, if you want to go ahead and put any information in, go ahead and press star T on your phone or push the request to talk in the chat room here. So, Geek Boy, how do you do it?
Sorry, I actually work very similar to the way Montu does, in the sense of I for an FTF hunt, I will pull in the GPX and throw it in the Colorado and run out that way. For my regular outing, we kind of went over a little bit last week, where I actually tried to keep my PDA and GPS updated on a daily basis so that I have all the information for my local area. So if I'm got a chance within about 100 miles of home, I can just kind of go out at that. But like this last weekend, where we went off to a dog competition 300 miles away, we set up pocket queries, pulled a GSAC database that's just for that trip. And, you know, I work it much like what you're working for your trip to Texas coming up this summer.
All right. Thanks for that information. GeoAddict, how do you go ahead and prepare for your cache outing?
Well, I kind of do what everybody else does. I load up pocket queries into GSAC and export those to my GPS and also to CacheMate. And if I'm focusing in on a certain area, I might limit the number of caches by compass direction and so on. And then I'll, just because of the way the gas situation is, I'm trying to plan out the route that I take to get to a variety of different caches. And sometimes I use the CacheRaid macro on GSAC to plan that out. And then I've got a lumbar pack and take water along and trekking pole and, you know, and nowadays a lot of bug spray and hit the road.
All right. Thank you for that information. We've got a couple other things in put into the chat room. Red Lights says that they take their caching bag, which is always packed, but they've also added a new thing to that, which is a spare car key, because on vacation last week, they got locked out of their car, and losing the car keys after a 0.45-mile bushwhack in and out, and it's just as the sun's setting. So, yeah, definitely leave an extra car key in your caching bag is definitely a good idea. I would not have even thought of that, because I wouldn't have thought of adding an extra car key. Daryl or Montu, anything else you guys want to put in here before we close the show?
Not that I can think of.
No, I think I'm pretty good myself.
All right. I want to thank everybody for showing up tonight. We do this show every week, and it's always on Tuesdays, always at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Next week, join us next week as we talk for GPS upgrading, what to look for, why you want to do it, what's good, what's bad. Join us. I guess, you know, we do this every week, so join us. Set a calendar reminder to join us because it's always fun to do it live. If you've never joined us live, it's a good thing because you get to see we have a chat room going on and you get to put in the information as far as how the show goes. You can join us on the TalkShoe service. Call in live 724-444-7444 and our TalkCast ID is 7525 or just go ahead and sign in at TalkShoe.com. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. If you want to put in something during the week, you didn't get a chance to join us live, go ahead and call 206-350-3GPS, and you can do that anytime to leave us a voicemail, and we'll get it on the show. Thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight. We look forward to seeing you next Tuesday. Have a great week.